You know, somebody told me here a while back, I went to and preached at a recovery program thing, and there's a lot of them in there. They're signed by the government, I mean, the court system, to go, and they get their paper signed, and they're assigned to go to church. You know, and so anyways, the minister come to me, and he told me, he said, "Now look," he said, "they don't want to hear it. A lot of them don't want to hear it. You know, don't want to hear preaching like that." And I told him, I said, "Listen," I said, "that's the ones I'm looking for." I said, "Cause the Bible says that if the gospel be hid, it's hid to those, from those who the God of this world has blinded their hearts and minds." I said, "But it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in." I said, "The preaching of the word of God is the power of God unto salvation." I said, "That's the ones I'm looking for." Well, after you're born again, the preaching under the anointing of the word of God, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, we learn as Christians to take God's word. God spoke to me back years and years ago, 30 years ago, I guess. I was reading the book of Joshua. You don't have to put it up there, man. I was reading it, and he told Joshua. Joshua was coming up. He come up under Moses. He's fixing to take over the task of leading millions of people to Canaan land. That's Joshua's fixing to take it over. And Moses is fixing to die and all that. But God told him, he said, "The word that I give Moses," he's talking about the Bible. We're talking about our Bible. There wasn't no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Joshua's day. Jesus hadn't came yet. Jesus wasn't here. Jesus was prophesied. Now, he was in God's heart, in God's eyes, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God already knew Jesus was coming. When Jesus got here right on time, in his season, he said a branch come out of the stem of Jesse, talking about Jesus. And Jesus brought redemption. He sealed the covenant of God. But here, Joshua, we have an advantage over them people that were in the old covenant, under the old covenant. We have an advantage because we have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Satan don't want me and you aware of that. He don't want me and you aware that greater is he that's in us. He wants us to feel in ourself and just walk in ourself and not have trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Lord spoke to me through Joshua. He told Joshua, he said, "Take the word that I spoke to Moses." He said, he said, "Meditate on it day and night." He said, "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And the Lord stopped me while I was reading that. And I thought, it didn't say God would. I stopped and I said, it didn't say God would make Joshua prosperous. See, God's not going to make you prosperous. He's already done it. Amen. Bless God. And Satan ain't nothing but a liar. He goes about trying to get you to not be obedient to the Lord, to not be yielded to the Lord, to not spend time with the Lord, to not spend time in the Word of God, to not be a doer of the Word of God. See, he don't want you to say, "I love my brethren," and then you abandon your brethren. I'm not on that. But I'm sitting there and I said, "Lord," I said, I was 28 years old that time, by the way. I said, "Lord," I said, "you didn't say you would make Joshua prosperous." I said, "You said he would make his way prosperous and he would have success." I said, "Where are you in there, God?" And God said, "I was with Joshua." He said, "I am in you and I am with you. Just like I was with Joshua, but got a better, I'm in you. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. He'll direct you where to work. He'll direct you where to go. He'll empower you to work. He'll empower you to do the will of God. He'll empower you. He'll give you. The Bible says, let the weak say that they are strong. Hallelujah. We are born of the Spirit of God. Then we draw from the Spirit of God. We draw from the anointing that is on the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit carries. If I've said it once, Chris, I've said it a million times. I said it in my 30s. I'm strong, hallelujah, because I felt weak. I'm strong. I had open heart surgery, and I couldn't. They didn't want me to tow the plate, and I went around saying, I'm strong, hallelujah. Why? Because the Bible says, let the weak say. He didn't say how you feel, say how it looks. Say what the doctor says. Say all of that. He said, let the weak say they're strong. That is your confession. That's your heart declaration. And that is what comes out of your mouth. You believe the word of God. I saw her drive that garbage out. I took her to specialist after specialist after specialist. And they said, we can't help you. Go see if you can find somebody else to listen to you. She was drunk and wasn't drinking no whiskey. I go in and she's sitting on the couch. And she's not a couch potato. The woman's been a worker all her life, outside, with me and doing. And she couldn't do nothing. Couldn't cook me no meals. Couldn't come down here and minister the gospel. Couldn't come clean the church. Couldn't mow the yard. I'm having to do it all. And I go in one day and I'd done been fasting for her, rebuking the devil for her. And I'd done been doing all of that. Praise God, hallelujah. But that was at my house, Alan. It's easier for me to believe for you than it is my house. That's the way it is with you. Right? And so I walk in and she says to me, she says, I'm stuck in this body. In other words, she would rather be cooking. She would rather be going to church. She would rather be doing her garden. She'd rather be planting her flowers. She'd rather be outside. In other words, that's what she was saying. This thing has got me bound to this that I don't want. And I look at her and nothing I can do, Alan. I done took her to all the specialists and MRIs and blah, 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 and, you know, and went through little bitty baby therapy and all kind of stuff. And so I walked in and I didn't really know what to tell her. But I know if I feel sorry for her, I can't be in faith to get her nowhere. See, sympathy's not faith. And so I walked through there and I'm looking on the, I said, how do I respond to that, God? Now go back to what I said. He told me, he said, if you will do what I told Joshua to do, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And so I begin to renew my mind to 1 Peter 2:24. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I don't care if the doctor says I'm dying next week. If I do die next week, I'm dying with that flag of victory. 1 Peter 2:24, I'm going to die in faith. That's the worst case scenario. You don't want to die outside of faith, right? Well, I mean, and I started renewing my mind to, I'm blessed going in. God's word says it in Deuteronomy. I quit saying, I owe, so off to work I go. I stopped letting that be my confession. I started confessing, it's the will of God that I go to work. I'm doing the will of God. And so I changed my confession. I said, Lord, I'm working with my own hands that I'll have to give to those that need. That's scriptural. I renewed my mind to that. And so I walk in there. Now I'm back to Teresa now. So you train yourself in the Word of God after you're born again. You renew your mind to the Word. I still do it today. I keep my mind stayed on Him. And He keeps me in peace. Right? I was in peace when she was having that, but I was having to walk and do what was contrary to that word. I was having to keep my mind stayed on the Lord, and my words don't change because of what I'm going through. Don't let your words change. Don't let what you're going through change what you believe. You believe the Word of God, and then you make your circumstances line up with what you believe. The church is scared to teach this. What if it don't work? That's what they'll tell me. Well, what if it don't work? I said, what if it does? But God, what if it does? It will. I'm convinced it will. I told somebody here a while back, I said, let me tell you something. When I invite somebody to the church that God's got me in, I am confident in the one that I put my trust in that He will touch their life. He will heal them. He will say, I'm not afraid to tell them I'm not one to tell them God might show up. No, God is here. He's here today. I am confident. Well, I'm back there, and I get back there, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, told me to tell her. He said, go tell her she got to fight. And so I thought, So I'm kind of happy. And I get in there to Teresa, and I turn around there, and I said, hey. I said, you're going to have to fight. She said, got a little mad at me. Well, guess who told me to say it? Who told me to say that? God did. And she looked at me and she said, I'm believing God. And I went, oh, yeah. I said, well, there's a difference in believing and fighting. I told her, I said, there is a difference in believing and fighting. Satan believes God and trembles. I said, there's a difference in believing and fighting. Now, it's a matter of her ever being normal again. Ever. It looked impossible. Year after year after year, worse and worse, and doctors worse. Don't it sound like in the Bible with a woman with the issue of blood went to the doctors. They'd run all the tests, I guess they could back that time, and all of that, and did all they could do and done all of that, and she grew worse. And the Bible says she spent everything she had. She's been trying to get better. She spent everything she's had. And then she says, but if I can just touch the hem. She heard that this man Jesus was in town. She had heard about him and heard how people's just touching his garment and things. And she said within herself, if I can just touch but the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus turned around and he said, who touched me? When they pointed her out, he said, your faith made you whole. I didn't do it. Her faith was keeping her down. Her lack of fighting. You get your believing out of the Scripture. You get your decision making out of the Scripture. You decide you're going to quit, you're going to stay broke, you're going to stay weak, or you take the Word of God and you renew your mind. That's what Romans 12:2 says. It says, be not conformed to this world. Conform means to be like it, think like it, speak like it. Oh, I'm just weak. I just can't afford gas money. Gas went up. I'm not going to pray for gas to come down. I'm going to pray that this church that you in here get enough of the Word of God and the time and prayer and fasting that it don't matter if it goes to $10 a gallon, you have the faith to believe God and it won't fail. And you don't sit there thinking, all I've got's this coming in. No, you're sitting there thinking, my God is a big God. You've seen him heal your daughter of cancer. I know she went to the doctors. God uses a doctor. He uses this natural. Them doctors ain't got nothing without God gives it. If I go to the doctor, I'm not anti-doctor. I go to the doctor in faith in God, saying, God, when I go, you're going to anoint this man. I don't care if he's saved or not, you're anointing. You're going to give him wisdom that he don't have in his own self to determine what the problem is. Well, you know what? Teresa goes on and she cuts off her watching TV and she gets in there and digs all of her scriptures out of the Bible on healing. Praise God. She writes them all down. She rolls out on the back porch. I had her a chair like Travis and them sitting in up there to get around the house. She rolled around the house. We couldn't go nowhere. She panicked going over bridges. Just down the road panicking. Like I'm going to flip us upside down or something. Her head buzzing, whatever that meant. It was, I guess. But see, Monty, I never was hopeless. But God, I thought it's just a matter of time, devil. This is going to leave her. This didn't generate with God. Hallelujah. It's just so she goes in there and she rolls out there on the back porch day in and day out, day in and day out. You know, reading those scriptures, taking her medicine. How many knows the Bible says that the Word of God is medicine to all of our flesh? That's why your flesh, I mean, Satan don't want, you don't feel like reading. I don't feel like taking ibuprofen when I do it. I'll take it because I want some relief. Right? I'm not in love with ibuprofen. Well, the Word of God is just like the ibuprofen, just magnified power. Paul said it this way. He said, your Word is working mightily in me. The Bible says that the Word of God is healing to all of our flesh. It don't say spirit. It says all of our flesh. Well, I come in one day, day after day, I lost my movies. She quit watching movies, and man, I'm like, man, this is terrible. All I'm getting some praise and worship when I come home, man. All I'm getting some preaching on TV when I come home, man. Can't we get something going? But I didn't change it, Adam. She's in her fight of faith. I done fasted and prayed and took her and done all I can do. And I didn't know what else to do till the Lord told me she's going to have to fight. Well, you know, I come in one day and she met me at the door and had the key. She said, let's go. I said, where are we going? She said, heal people drive. And I thought, oh my God. You know, she's drunk. I mean, I don't ride with, last time I rode and let a drunk drive my vehicle, I found myself jumping tombstones in a graveyard. He was drunk too, driving my car. And I'm thinking, nah, man, drunk people don't drive me around. Then my next thought was, because it was serious and I wasn't going to say no, because you got to act on what you believe in. And it's not how you feel, it's not how, what people say or you think or opinions of others, you act on what you believe. That's faith in action. Faith without works is what? Dead. That's what the scripture says. Faith has action. And so I immediately turned to Psalms 91 in my mind and heart. Now Psalms 91, I pulled it out of there. I didn't have to go to the Bible. See, you don't need to have to go to the Bible to find out where the Scripture's at. You need it in your heart already. You need to be a student of the Bible. Study it. Kill that flesh. That flesh, I don't feel like reading. I guarantee you, any Christian in this place or listening by, you don't feel like reading. You can sit on Facebook and read my comments and what I think and my opinions for hours. You hear me? We utilize that. And before you know it, you want the Word. I mean, you build your spirit up and you're like, glory to God, I'm automatically turning to the Word of God. So anyways, I pulled the Word of God out and I told her, I said, let's go. I said, I've got angels watches over me. I got angels. I said, angels, y'all are getting in my seat with me. I started to buckle up. I don't buckle up. I know I ought to. But I started to buckle up, and I thought, that's against my faith right there. So I didn't. It would have messed with my conscience. I know what the law says. Y'all break it too. I don't have to agree with everything the law says. Now, I didn't say make it right to be a lawbreaker, but you know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. If I want, they say, well, you're committing suicide. That's my choice. Since you want to put it that way, that's my choice. Not hurting you none. Just go ahead and give me a $10 ticket and go on your way. Well, anyways, we get in there and she drives. Before you know it, I'm going to make this short. Before you know it, and here, years later, I mean, it didn't happen overnight. Week after week after week of her doing the Word, standing on the Word, coming to church. Y'all seen her. We had to help her on and off the stage at different times. She'd get up there and try to preach and forget what she's saying. Some tell me, is she getting Alzheimer's? Shut that up. Don't you speak that against her. We never spoke it. I don't care if everybody on the planet gets Alzheimer's. I ain't going to get it. The Bible says I have a sound mind. That's my answer, right? We don't go by statistics. We believe what the Word says. He said, God gave me power, love, and a sound mind. Me and Travis the other day pulled up on the job, and it's not about preaching to people. Pulled up on the job, and this guy, well, his brother got Alzheimer's, and you know, and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, well, I don't know if I... And Travis got Travis kind of stirred up. And Travis looked at him, and we know he's a Christian, way he talks. You can tell people's Christian or not. They bring up Jesus, they're Christians. So Travis, he told him, he said, not you. He said, you don't have to. You don't have, what's he doing? Telling him what the Bible says. You don't have to. He said, we're believing in Jesus' name. That won't happen to you. And then he got me stirred up, and I began to tell him some scriptures and all that. And then he said, I mean, it was giving him hope, Granny. Standing there. He said, that devil lies to you all the time. He tells you you're washed up. He'll tell you you are going to get it. You're going to die with it. You ain't going to get no better. And I'm telling him, I said, he's all the time trying to convince you against that Bible. He said, yeah, I'll get done here. He said, oh. And I quoted the scripture. I said, the Bible says that God give you a love, power, and a, he said, sound mind. It hit him. It hit him. That's right. He said, sound mind. I said, that's it. That's what you say. That's what you agree with. He said, yeah. He said, and I'll go in my house and my wife will get on me just like y'all are to help me. I said, ain't God good? Got a woman in the house telling you, don't say that. Don't confess that. The Apostle Paul says, as we believe, therefore we confess. I got that from the Bible. And people say, well, Scotty, he's just a name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it preacher. That's dumb. That's dumb. It ain't name and blame it. She's sick and I want her healed. She's sick and she wants healed. And to lay hold of the Word of God and confess it over yourself and your wife or this church, I do it to this church. I don't like funerals, so I'll just keep you alive. Right? I keep y'all all alive, man. I ain't doing no funerals. I don't like doing funerals, so I'm like, glory to God, ain't nobody died in my church. Black God, hallelujah. They're going to have long, I use Psalms 91 on you. They have long, satisfied. Well, you know what? Years goes by, praise God. She might have a spell every now and then, and she says, not today, you're not. And we go to Tennessee, and she's never drove me to Tennessee and back. And she drives all the way up there and whips me with all three go-kart tracks. I mean, I asked the guy up there, look, man, I said, I've been married 40 years to this woman. I taught her how to drive. I said, and I can't beat her. I said, so can, listen, man, I said, it was just me and her on the track. I said, listen, I said, can I run up on her and just bump her and make her go over and go around? I just want to bump her. He said, nah, man, just don't do it, man. I said, well, anyways, you know, they'll kick you off the track if you do it. I don't want to get banned from the track. But you know what? She drove all, now I was messing with her. She drove all the way to Pigeon Forge and all over our little skelly mountain up there and all of that. Praise God. And I just kicked back in the air conditioning, man, I'm on vacation. Drove all the way back, and then I was messing with her. We come back, and it brings you across Scottsboro the way we come. I don't go 59. And so we get to Scottsboro, and I thought, man, I'm going to try to get her to let me drive at least from Scottsboro. So I looked at her, and I said, you know, it's okay. Pull over, and I'll drive. I'm going to help you out. She said, that's not going to happen. That is not going. You're not going to be able to say you drove any. Now look, Ellen, she was doing that on purpose. She was showing the devil and showing and walking by faith. That's what she was having works worthy of repentance. She was showing her faith by her doing. And she drove all the way up, praise God, and it helped her all the way. It began to help her not to be fearful on the interstate. Right? God didn't give you a spirit of fear, right? Yeah. On the interstate, going across bridges, hailstorm coming, tornado supposed to be heading this way. See, we're to take authority. We're supposed to take authority. Every time James Spann says one's coming toward Blount County, I just go outside and I'll speak up there and I'll say, go around. You die before you get here. You're not ruining my tomatoes. You're not going to ruin you're not taking not one tree on my 16 acres. I get out and speak to that mountain. How many knows the Bible says for you to speak to that mountain? Jesus said it. He said, speak to that mountain. Whoever speaks to that mountain can command it to go there or there. It has to go. Now I'm just telling you. And I mean, you will have Christians call you stupid. Well, we got to act with common sense. Where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say, listen to James Spann and crawl under my house? Right? No, it says listen to Jesus and do what he done. We need to get back to the bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? I know what he'd do. That storm come up, getting in the way of the will of God, he told it, he rebuked it and said, peace be still. And that thing had to die. See, fear is your enemy. Fear is not wisdom. Fear is not of God. Fear of dying. I don't even fear dying. Look, man, the hospital up there didn't have no insurance, had to open heart surgery, and my bill was $130,000. I'm in the ambulance on the way down there because they said, no, he can't drive. Ship him in an ambulance. And I'm like, man, let me drive. An ambulance is going to cost money. No, you got to go in an ambulance. So I'm in an ambulance with a couple of little demons. The drivers. Lost without the Lord, man. Didn't feel comfortable in there. So I'm praying in tongues. And all the time my mind is thinking, oh, my God, this is going to cost a lot of money. A lot of money. And so I'm casting my care of 1 Peter 5:7 and that one. I didn't know it was going to be 130. Well, anyhow, it goes on, praise the Lord. And it was all said and done. Thank God they was there and all of that stuff. And I started getting the bill and got the bill $130,000. And then another one was $15,000 or $16,000 for some of the doctors. And, you know, I'm like, glory to God, I'll never get this paid for. This is a lifetime. This is a lifetime thing. And I said, nope, I'm debt-free in Jesus' name. Glory to God, I've been believing debt-free in this open-heart surgery. Not going to stop my vision. I'm believing debt-free. I didn't have the money to pay none of that. I think I had $300 in the savings account. I believe it was $300. And I'm like, they're not getting it. Well, anyways, don't go on. And I tried to get help and all of that. And they said, you make too much money. You ain't getting no help. You can't, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, glory to God. And I thought, well, I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to make arrangements to make payments on these. And I'm going to believe God to pay it off early. I'll not spend the rest of my life paying for a $130,000 operation. In Jesus' name. I didn't go to down in the hospital. Well, in stupid hospitals, charge overcharge. I didn't get on all of that blame game. Nope, I said, thank you, Lord, they were there. And thank you, Lord, for the doctors that did the surgery. I thank you, Father. They helped me in all of that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got to keep your heart thankful. And you know what? Did some people, well, go bankrupt? And I said, that's not the will of God. I said, I can't find it in the Bible. I said, everybody can do it. I said, but I can't. My conscience won't let me. And so I said, I'm going to believe God for this. Praise. See, listen to me. God needs faith people that believes the impossible and receives it. The impossible. And bless God, you know what? I went and I said, okay, bless God, I'm going to make arrangements. I'm gonna pay $500 a month. Lord, I do the right thing. I swear to my own hurt and change not, Lord. I use the hospital and I'm not doing them that way. Well, I went on, you know, and I made an agreement. Now that's faith. When you make up your mind, you are going to do the right thing. Whatever the right thing is. Not what you feel, not what's gonna benefit you, what is the right thing. And so I went. Now, I didn't see no way out. We still owed for our house. I didn't see how we could do that and have any kind of a financial life. I understand financial pressure. The cares of this world, that's why God said, Paul said in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? This world's way of doing and thinking. This world's way of acting. God said in Isaiah 55, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, he's telling me. My ways are higher than yours. He said, just as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and gives bud to the seed, he said, so shall my word be that you put in you and you decide to stand on and you decide to act on. So shall my word be that I send you. It will not return void. It'll go and do in your life and in your future what I send it to do. I don't have to wonder about God's will financially. You're the head, not the tail. Lend and not borrow. And I don't care how much debt you might be piled up on you. God don't look at it and say, my God, this is terrible. I mean, not to be blessed in my life right now. I have to decide I'm tired of being blessed. I'm tired of being financially fed. I'm tired of getting healed every time. I'm tired of God delivering me every time. I mean, you come to the place where you'd have to say, I'm tired of being in victory. I know we look around and that looks impossible, but I'm telling you the truth. God's word is the truth. Well, you know what, Chris, you drove over there, all the way over there. That was a miracle. Okay, they come and I call them up and I said, okay. I said, I want to make an agreement. I said, I want to make an agreement. This was UAB Hospital. I said, I want to make an agreement. I said, I'm going to pay $500 a month. I said, I want to pay $250 a month on the doctors, and I want to pay $250 a month on the hospital. She said, okay, Mr. Wesley. She said, I'll be right back. She said, I've got to go. And while she's gone, I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I won't have to pay 50 years on this. I thank you, Lord, as I make this and get an agreement with you, Father God, that you supply all of my needs and I need this paid. And my thinking is on that. I wouldn't let my mind go on how terrible that was and what a financial strain that put me and Teresa and everybody in. I would not let my mind dwell on that. Those whose minds are stayed on the Lord. Right? Not on your problems. Not on your bills. Not on your body. Teresa, Nita gets us. Where'd you hear about that at? Steering wheel cover. You said steering wheel, but we know what you meant. Cover. Where'd you get that notion? Somebody in here got him a car with a steering wheel cover. $8 steering wheel cover from Dollar General. He heard it when I used to tell the teenagers. Damien, his was a flex thing. Got his car. I mean, there's been people, multitudes of people through this ministry that done what God said with a steering wheel cover, or you walk by faith and not by sight, not by how you body, not by how tired, not by how wore out. Satan will tell you you wore out. He does me. He'll say, you're 59. And I'll say, I'm only 59. I come back spit in his face with it. When I have this negative thought, you're 59. That sounds boring, don't it? I mean, that sounds terrible. He asked me, he said, what happened to your hand? I said, Teresa bit me. I said, man, you don't look like a girl. And you still look good. Well, this one, I bruised myself working. And Satan tells me, it's old age setting in. You're getting old. You just bruise. Wind blows. Leaf hits you. And you just, I mean, I had this thought one day, don't rub the wall or rip your arm open. You're getting tender. And then I'm like, oh, y'all. God, man, I hope they don't notice that. I hope they don't know that. They're gonna think I'm washed up too. And you know what I tell Satan? Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. I'm not going to be self-conscious of you thinking about my hand being bit by Teresa, and it wasn't. I did that change of the oil in her car. I made a commitment. Now I became the lube place. She tells me every time I'm 1,000 miles past you. I'm like, well, look, I got to plant tomatoes. I'm worse now than I've ever been. I've took over the change in oil in her, and now I'm behind 1,000 miles. So I thought, well, black God, I got to get this trial off my back. So I go change the oil, and it's over. Right? Man, if I get up, man, I don't run from trials. I run the car out there. Then I thought, you know what? I'm going to add a little bit on top. So Aubrey, she was up there with me, and I said, hey, baby. I said, get in the back seat. She said, where are we going, Papa? I said, well, Grandma's about got a quarter of a tank of gas. I said, let's go to the store and fill it up and get you some candy. Yeah, we need to go give Grandma some gas. So I just run up. I thought, you know what, devil? You tried to pressure me and get me upset with my wife because I'm a real busy guy, and right now is not a good time to change that oil, and her blinkers don't work, and my blinkers don't work, and I mean, everything's not working. How many knows when the pressures of this world are coming on you is the time you ought to be most peaceful? Hallelujah. Well, you know what? She come back to me, back to the $130,000. I'm a wealthy man. I didn't have but $300 in savings. Then I'm feeling like less than a man. I felt sorry for myself one day, and I'm like, Tracy, she's going through the house. And I said, just wait on me a little longer. I'm getting better. Now just wait on me. I did. Then I went, what's wrong with you? I'm a man. I thought, I'm a man. She's the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus. I just couldn't say it real bold because they might split me open. So I changed my thinking. I said, I'm going to think like I did before that happened. And I tell her all the time, and I still mean it today, I'm the best thing ever happened to your granddaughter other than Jesus. Why? Because I love her. I love God. I follow God. I walk with God. And y'all men and y'all women, she's the best thing ever happened to me other than Jesus. Because she loves me. And she loves God. That's the number one thing. She loves the Lord. She puts the kingdom first. She pushes me. I'd be a bigger sinner as a pastor if she wouldn't push me. I mean, I would sin more if she'd just leave me alone. She makes me. She actually makes me walk in integrity. You're the pastor down there. I tell her a lot of times, I say, you know what? You and God, you made a man out of me. I mean, you brought me from being, you making all the choices. She used to make all the choices. She thought she was smarter than me. She thought I was dumb as dirt. I'm like, man, she got IQ like Trump says some of them's got. But no, we become one with God. Then we come one together. Then we become powerful. Well, you know what? She come back and she said, Mr. Weston, she said, I don't know how this happened. She said, I really don't understand it. She said, but when I went and told her what you wanted to do, she told me to tell you if you could pay $300, I believe it was $300, pay $300 right now, they're going to wipe out the $130,000 bill. I said, by gollies, I'll be right back. I went and got a debit card and paid the $300 right then, and they canceled. I told her, email it, to send it to me. I want it in paper. Canceled. God canceled the $130,000 bill. And people can tell me, well, you just got lucky. All you want to. But you ain't going to make me believe that my God is not big enough to cancel $130,000. You're not going to make me believe, because my mind and every bit of them down there told me it's not going to happen. But the Bible says that all things are possible to those that believe. I told a little young teenager the other day, talking about God, and I looked at him and I said, listen to me. I said, if you're going to serve God, you are never strapped. Your back is never against the wall. You know why I know that? Because he brought the children of Israel out and their back was again the wall. And he told Moses, he said, stretch your rod out over the sea. And Moses didn't know that sea could open up. Moses obeyed God and that whole sea opened up. Praise God. And you know what? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, you take the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. Not religiously, Chris. I mean, churches do it religiously sometimes. It's dead. I mean, it's like you take it and you're like, I've told God before, you know, about my marriage. God, I'm telling God, he said, give her to me. And I thought, I don't want God to have her. I don't know about it, because I'm thinking he might take her or something, you know. This is years ago. And so the Lord said, he taught me. He said, he carried me to Scripture. He said, I'm able to keep, take care of what you give to me. I'm able to keep what you give to me. Scripture says it. And so I shut my eyes and I gave her to Jesus, and I've still got her 40 years later. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I did that, it wasn't long. I wasn't jealous. I think, man, they got to be anointed to live with this woman. And she's got to be anointed. And I've told Satan before, go ahead and try to send somebody over. Go ahead and try to take her. No weapons formed against me will prosper. See, he's trying to get me jealous. He's trying to get me fearful. He's trying to get me like I was before I got born again. See, Pat, if we got born again, we're not the same. We're continually changing for the better. If we didn't get born again, we didn't have a transformation. When we get born again, we're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. We're transferred over into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. This guy preaching about salvation one time, Chris, and I knew I was saved. Man, he's preaching and I thought, glory to God. So I just got on my knees in front of the TV and I said, I know I'm saved, Lord, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to recommit here. I'm gonna make sure. And I said, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood. The Word of God says that you was raised from the dead and ascended and brought me and sent the Holy Spirit for salvation. And I receive it. I asked you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me. I'm still doing it today. I'm sending it on to my grandkids. Right? Teaching them to believe God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Take the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. I don't care if something's attacking you or not. I mean, I'm a little fat. I asked Teresa one time, I said, hey, man. I said, what does fat feel like? Because I just felt like heavy. Just like stretchy. Just, you know, I'm like, man, I guess this is what fat... So I asked her, I said, what's, but she said, what are you asking me for? You said I'm fat? And I thought, no, I'm not. I said, I just don't know what fat feels like, and I'm wondering if this is what fat feels like. It's bloatshy. It's like, and it's heavy. And so I told the Lord yesterday, I said, God, I think I'm toting around two gallon of milk here, you know, extra. Lord, I'm going to have you to help me eat some salads. You know? Well, you think God's not interested in helping me lose weight? He does. He wants my faith on it. He wants me to use my faith that he'll help me to lose weight and be healthy. I'll close with this. I'm down in my garden down there, and I'm a Christian. And I've had people, you're going to be criticized. Nita was criticized over a steering wheel cover. That's terrible. But that's the way it is. Jesus said in this world, you will have persecution, tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've already overcome it. He told me, he said, they ridiculed me. He said, and I didn't pay them no attention. Don't you pay them no attention either. He said, you just walk by faith, and you, if I say it in that Bible and I speak it to you by the Holy Spirit, quicken it to you, make it real to you, then you lay hold of it no matter what anybody says, and don't let them talk you out of it, and I will do it for you. That's all of us. You know? And I forgot what I was going to tell you. Oh, yeah. I'm down there in the garden, and I drive fence posts for my tomato steaks. Now, people might not like gardening. That's fine. I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. I'd rather be doing that than bass fishing, you know? Well, I'm in a hurry to get home to get to the garden. Travis in a hurry to get home to get in the house. He's in a hurry to get home, get in the house. Now I'm in a hurry to get home, go peck around that garden. Just enjoy it. Well, I'm down there driving those fence posts and hurting between my shoulder blades. And I mean, there was times when I would just fall on my knees in the middle of that garden, hurting so bad, trying to drive those. And I would tell the Lord, I go in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. And I would tell him, I would say, I'm strong in the Lord. And thank you that no weapons formed against me will prosper. And I'm getting up by faith. And I'd get up and the pain would ease off. And I did that year after year. Not knowing that all of my arteries were stopped up. And I mean, my faith kept me alive. I truly believe my faith in God kept me going year after year. I don't have that problem anymore after that open heart surgery. I'm in better shape right now at 59 years old than I was at 45. 50. I can drive them fence posts. I use the metal fence post. And there's times I get in that garden and I'll try to feel something and I'll say, nope, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. I've been redeemed from sickness. It didn't come. You got to fight. What I'm telling you is your actions. I heard a preacher one time, he said, never let Satan see you sweat. Well, that's what it is. Get down there in the garden. Oh, my God, I'm dying. And then get on the phone with that boy. I'm telling you, I was in the garden. I mean, I was driving. Y'all only know about it because I preach it as a testimony of fighting. That's the only reason you hear it. Teresa didn't know it. Well, she did. She looked out there and, what was you doing? Praise God. So I want to encourage you. I don't care if it's in the financial realm. Don't stay broke. Believe God. Don't give up. Believe God. Don't think that you can't come out of debt. God uses, he'll move in the supernatural and cause things to happen in the natural that won't happen if you don't use faith. Hallelujah. Today, I don't owe nobody nothing. And I can have what I want. Told Teresa the other day, I said, baby, you know, when you get ready for a trip, she said, well, you don't understand. You don't understand. I said, yeah, what is that? She said, I'm not going to buy one. She said, maybe with 1,000 miles. You're not terrifying me. I told her, I said, well, just go get the money and go buy it. I'm not going to the bank no more. I'm done. It ain't because I got a good business. People get that wrong. That business failed me a long time ago. Them garage doors failed me a long time ago when I was 3 months behind, they telling me get out of my house. And telling me, the bank's telling me I'm fixing to come get all of your trucks. I owed for everything. And I walked out of the debtor's court thing and I told that lawyer, he says, you ain't got no choice, Mr. Weston. And when he said that, I thought, man, that's ridiculous. I got up and I told him, I said, listen, man, I said, I'll let you know. He said, no, you need to let me know now. The government's going to pay me for you to go bankrupt. You don't have to pay me nothing. They're going to pay you, blah, blah, blah. And I walked out of there and walked down the streets of Onion and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry, Lord, for getting in my own strength. And Lord, today, you know, I'm not turning to the weak and beggarly elements of this world. I believed you for a good name and you gave it to me, God. And Satan wants me to make choices today that would cause my name not to be great anymore, Lord. And I'm not going to lose what I've gained the victory over. And I said, but I thank you, God. And I'm walking down through that and I'm repenting and I'm telling the Lord. And I said, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. Your word says that no man leaves father, mother, lands, brother, sister for your sake in the gospel and loses anything. See how you need to know the word? In the middle of the fire, the word comes. And I said, I will lose nothing. I spoke it out of my mouth. I said, I will not lose anything in Jesus' name. I receive this scripture. I receive this as your truth, and I receive it in Jesus' name. That was hard. I say it with ease and passion, but that was hard. Well, you know what? Today, I don't owe a dime on anything. And I told Teresa the other day, I said, you know what? God's amazing. She's come crying. Just tears run. God's good to us, ain't he? Oh, God's good. I'm like, yeah, he's good. He's good. She said, we can have anything we want. I said, yeah. She said, but you just don't want nothing. You're satisfied. I said, yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, and I told her, I said, you know what? I said, you can believe God and to be debt free and not that you can't ever have anything. You can be debt free and you can have what God says you can have. You can do what God says you can do. Now, I walk that word out and I'm not afraid to say it. Satan told me one time, somebody told me one time, they said, well, you shouldn't ever tempt Satan. I said, you don't have to tempt him. You've been trying to kill me before I got saved. He kills, steals, and destroys. He's been trying to kill me since before I got saved. But he lost power when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I didn't know I had the power that I've got. I begin to read that word, give you power over all power of the devil. He said, the gold and silver belongs to my Father. He said, it's mine, says the Lord. The cattle on a thousand hills. God used a $4,000 worth of cattle to bring me in $25,000. And I thought, man, God, they told me I couldn't make money with cows. Everybody, every farmer told me. And I went to God. I said, God, you told Jacob, take them coals. And you told him what to do. And then he turned out to have the finest herd in the Bible from they was ripping him off. And then God says, save the babies, save the babies. So I saved the babies. Brought me in 25 grand. And then I got 10 mamas left. I got another herd. I done went through one herd and got another one in 4 years, 5 years. Whatever God tells you is in your heart. They called me up. I know I said I was going to close. I'm trying. This is important. Your flesh, I mean, it wants entertained, but your spirit wants fed. I've not got that fenced in over there. And this guy called me. I'd never met him before or nothing. He had heard that I needed some hay for my cows. He calls me up. I didn't even have the fence. I'm fencing in the whole 40 acres, and it's about halfway, and the guy that was helping me died. So I'm kind of fixed there. Well, anyways, he said, yeah. He said, hey, I heard you needed some hay for your cows. And I thought, man, I ain't got no cows yet. And I thought, what does faith say? If I believe I got cows, they ain't got here yet, Mark 11:24, then I might as well get some hay because my cows are coming. So I told him, I said, yeah. I said, I need some hay for my cows. I didn't have no cows. And I said, but I got a problem. He said, what kind of problem you got? I said, I just hadn't got my tractor here yet with a front end loader to unload the hay. I said, but I need the hay. And he said, well, that's no problem. We'll just roll it off. And I said, well, will it bust open and all that? No, it's tight wrapped. I said, okay, I got the cow. By the end of that year, I had my cows. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, now don't take it. Scotty's just telling his story. That's what a preacher told me one time, Alan, here. You tell too many stories. You know, people need to hear the preaching. They don't need to hear them stories. And I said, what do you think Paul was saying in there when he was bit by a viper? What do you think Paul was saying in there? I was stoned and left for dead, drug outside the city. I said, what was he telling? I said, he was telling his account of the power of God. I said, when I give what God has done for me in a story form and give you scripture for it, I'm telling you what God did for me. And he will do it for you. So you don't yield to this world. Be conformed to it. Your mind. Renew your mind to God's word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you today. Lord, it's our confession. We're healed. We're healed in the name of Jesus. We may feel weak, but we're going to say we're strong. We might be broke, God, but according to your word, you supply all of our needs. We're going to go around saying we're supplied. All of our needs are supplied according to your riches. God, we're not going to think that we're stuck, Lord, where we are, God, because we see it all through the Bible, Lord, that expectation brought a manifestation to the ones in the Bible, and it does for us too. I thank you, Father God, for signs, wonders, and miracles. I thank you, Father God, that some in the Bible, in the book of Acts, they were healed as they went. They believed you, and as they went on your word, they were healed as they went, Father. And I thank you, some of us, Lord, it progressively, we get better and better and better every day. And we're going to say it out of our mouth. Believe in you, Father God. And I thank you, Father, that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow this service. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you might have went to church, but that church is not what gets you saved and in a relationship. If you're here today and you can't say, if you can say, I don't really know when I got saved, I just know that I'm saved. You're probably not saved. I know when I got born again. I know when I called on Jesus. Hallelujah. But if you're here and you say, I'm lost without God, or I'm backslid, and I'm ready to make Jesus Lord over my life, not just my Savior, but Lord over my life, pray for me when you pray. If that's you, slip your hand up and back down. All you listening by way of internet and the airways, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life or you've walked away from God, you can bow right where you're at, on your couch, in your bed, in your jail cell, in the hospital, don't matter. Just bow your heart to the Lord and tell the Lord and repent and ask Jesus to come into your life. Let us know you did, and that'd be a blessing to us. All right, does anybody need prayer this morning before we dismiss? Anybody? All right, let's stand to our feet, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.